Welcome back, everybody. Today is day 7, and we are going to be talking about the gift of fear of the Lord.
So, here we go. Janelle, why don't you take it away?
Oh, there's just so many good things that we can share about today. I feel like I have a lot to say. And, you know, it's interesting because I remember one time someone saying to me like, oh, I don't believe in fear of the Lord because I'm not fearful of God. But it actually doesn't have to do with being afraid. It's actually having like a beautiful honoring respect towards our Father that we don't want to hurt him. We don't want to offend him. It talks about this in conversations with God, how fear is a great starting point in our faith journey, like fear of hell, fear of the devil, fear of offending God, right? But ultimately what happens is that fear will eventually turn into love. Love will then cast out that fear. And ultimately we want to have a great deep love for God. St. Teresa says that God bestows two remedies for all the temptations and trials that we have to endure, love and fear. Love will make us quicken our steps, while fear will make us look where we are setting our feet so that we shall not fall. I just remember, you know, being taught often about being afraid of the devil, which is a good thing. Like, we don't want to be friends with the devil, but we have to have a greater knowledge that God is far greater and he's more powerful and more omnipotent. He is omnipotent. And we have to have, like, we don't need to have fear,
but and he's good.
And he's good. There's a good, so, but fear is a good starting point. And, that has now led me to a love relationship with God. So I'm grateful for that in my upbringing for sure. But not every fear is good. There is the worldly fear of those who fear physical evil above all else, or the social disadvantages which can beset them in this life. They flee from all earthly inconveniences. As soon as they foresee that fidelity to a Christian way of living can cause them any hardship, they show themselves ready to abandon Christ and his church. From this fear springs human respect, and it is the origin of countless surrenders and of betrayal itself. I feel like you probably have something you want to say about that too.
But you're on a roll, go for it.
Well, no, I feel like how often do we place the opinions of others above the opinion of God? And I think that that's a distortion of the gift of the fear of God, because we really should never put somebody else's opinion ahead of our Almighty Father in heaven.
I was thinking about an analogy, but perhaps that could make this a little bit clearer, like fear of the Lord. Why am I striving to be faithful to you? Is it because I fear your wrath?
Maybe.
Oh, what you don't know. Just for the record, I've never seen the wrath of Janelle Yuzinski. the motivation for faithfulness in marriage, like in ours, is because you deserve it. And I love you. That's the motivation for faithfulness. And this brings joy. To be able to give yourself to another person in a faithful way, in a complete way, brings great joy to marriage. And with God, why do we want to strive to be faithful to him? Is it because we fear his punishment and wrath? Fear of the Lord leads us eventually to this reverential fear because he deserves it. Mm-hmm. And I fear sometimes in our relationship not being what you deserve. You deserve a great husband. You deserve love. You deserve respect. And I know my little selfishness is I fall short. And so that wounds you. And I'm not afraid of your wrath when I'm not perfect, but I'm afraid of making those mistakes because of what you deserve.
Mm. And how it wounds the heart of the other.
And so when we come to our Lord, we are faithful to him, not because we're afraid of losing him, although that is true, but eventually we're moved to this reverential fear and we fear not being what God deserves. Mm-hmm. And because we are nothing.
Right.
And he is everything.
The gift enables holy souls to acknowledge their nothingness before God. St. Jose Maria Escriva would often repeat, I am worth nothing. I have nothing. I can do nothing. I know nothing. I am nothing. Nothing at all. At the same time as he realized the incalculable grandeur of knowing oneself and of being a child of God.
So I think fear of the Lord moves us to this understanding that we are nothing and that God is everything. But then when we lose the sense of fear of the Lord, well, then what happens is that we easily lose our aversion to sin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easy to get lukewarm. And yes, it's easy to lose our desire for holiness. And it's easy to lose our desire and motivation to sacrifice and to reparation for sin. Because fear of the Lord perfects the gift of temperance.
Mm-hmm.
So temperance moderates our bodily appetites. So that's one thing it does. So when we don't fear God, again, and this reverential fear, we're not going to strive to rein in those appetites. And we have to be honest, those appetites are disordered, mm-hmm, and they don't honor God when we act upon them. And we live in a time where our society right now on June 1st is telling everyone to explore every single sexual appetite and see where that leads you. That's what we are celebrating the world is on June 1st for this month. And this is a great example of complete loss, fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we to tell God how we should live our life? He's the one that's created us. He's created us male and female. It is that simple. And the two are complementary, not in competition. And so fear of the Lord, when we lose this, we lose all sense of sin. We kind of make up our own rules. Mm-hmm. We in one sense become our own God.
The gift of fear enlightens us to understand that sin is at the root of the moral evils which divide and ravage society. And the gift of fear leads us also to a hatred for deliberate venial sin and to an energetic reaction against the first symptoms of lukewarmness, carelessness, or mediocrity. So I just feel like if we start being like okay with a lot of this stuff, we need to pray for an increase of the gift of the fear of the Lord, because this is the onset of lukewarmness. And I think if a lot of us are starting to be like, oh, it's not so bad, it's really okay for us to participate in these parades or different things, I think we need to ask ourselves for a greater outpouring of the fear of the Lord, because those are all signs of lukewarmness. I'm sorry to say, but it is, because those are not the teachings of the Catholic Church. I know even in modern society, there's different Catholic voices that are teaching us different things and saying things. But if you look back to the history of the church for 2,000 years, this has never changed. This has never been endorsed. You know, all these different types of lifestyles that are being promoted now in modern society.
You know, and some might interpret what the church teaches as hateful or restricting people's freedoms. But the thing about the church's teaching is it's revealed by God. Who are we to tell God how his universe should run? And not only that, but when God reveals something, it's coming out of his goodness and his love. So everything that God teaches is for our good, mm-hmm, for our eternal happiness. And we can have foretaste of this happiness here and now. There's a great arrogance that is so prolific that is just spread around the world, especially in Western society, that completely ignores fundamental truth that man and woman are made for each other. And this is for our good. This is for our holiness. This is for our happiness. This is not for our detriment. This is not to restrict our freedoms. And there might be a temptation to reject this because it seems extremely unpopular. But truth does not change with the trends. It simply does not. And we do have to remember, yeah, we are free. God has created us free. And we are free to do whatever we want, but we're not free to choose the consequences.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and only a few find it.
So this is a difficult teaching, and here our Lord is saying that the path to eternal life is a narrow path, and it is a difficult one, and few are walking on this path. The gift of holy fear of God helps moderate, once again, the virtue of temperance, which we need in order to live a virtuous life and stay on that narrow road, to moderate those disordered appetites, which We all have to some degree or another.
Nowadays, many people seem to have lost the holy fear of God. They forget who God is and who they are. They forget divine justice, and so they are encouraged to persist in their follies. The consideration of our final end, of the last things, of that reality which we will encounter perhaps before long, the definitive meeting with God, disposes us to receive more fully from the Holy Spirit this gift, which is so near to love. So I like this, how it brings us back to the fact that, you know, we're all going to die someday. And it talks about the four last things, which are death, judgment. Okay, we can't skip that. Heaven or hell. And if we think anything other than these four things, then we will be in for a great shock. And so we need that gift of holy fear of the Lord to prepare us, like today, because we don't know the time, the hour, when, where. And ultimately, that's up to God when he calls us home.
Yeah.
But then lastly, it talks about how holy fear is, it's so near to love. Like when we have that fear of the Lord, it's like we, when we enter into those four last things, we shouldn't be afraid because we loved him so much, right? And it also, another thing that Father Fernandez talks about is how the gift of holy fear brings us to true contrition, a true sorrow for our sin. Our Lady of Fatima talked about this. God is so deeply offended by our sin, and how when we have holy fear of the Lord, it helps us to understand that contrition, how we are hurting him, and we don't want to hurt the ones that we love.
So how do we open our hearts up to the gift of holy fear of God? Number one, we need to be baptized. With all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they come to us through the gift of baptism. So assuming that, number two, we can do a meditation on the grandeur and the greatness of God, because then we'll realize how small and nothing we are and what God deserves. So here we have, again, that reverential holy fear of God giving him what he deserves. And number three, we can do an examination of conscience, because then we'll start seeing the ugliness of sin in our life. And one thing that we have to be aware of is that if we're not doing a regular examination of conscience, we're probably not going to recognize too much sin in our life. And it's very difficult to repent of something that you don't recognize. Remember, Jesus said, those who seek will find. So it's okay to seek in the heart ways in which we have fallen short. In fact, that's very, very necessary and should happen daily. And number four, here's another thought. We could meditate upon the last things, which you've already talked about, the heaven, hell, death, and judgment. And number five, simply ask. Ask for this gift to be alive in your life. Mm-hmm. So with that, I think we're done. Please comment below. Share with us what stood out to you and why. And once again, at the end of this video, we'll link to the prayer to the Holy Spirit. And we'll see you tomorrow.